This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The President of the United States has called out thousands of National Guardsmen to roam the streets of Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, and also to basically turn in the police department of our nation's capital to be an agent of the federal government in order to bring control and a measure of safety to the streets of our nation's capital. Why is that necessary? Is it necessary? And what's going on? Why is D.C. so dangerous? That's what we want to talk about here today on Viewpoint. Why is D.C., the District of Columbia, so dangerous, our nation's capital? And what does it say about our country as a whole? If Washington, D.C. is the center of operations, then what does it say about the country as a whole? What does it say about our society as a whole in America? That's what we want to look at, and I want to tell you before we go further that I have probably spent more time preparing for this program today than virtually, well, probably more than 90, 95% of all of the programs. Why? Because there was so much information to be gleaned. So much information to be gleaned and to be fair and honest in the representation so as to avoid false accusations of misrepresentation of facts and so on. So today on Viewpoint, we're going to take a very serious and profound look that isn't all that difficult, really. When you boil it down, everything points to one particular source. One particular source of the danger, and that is fatherlessness. That's the number one problem. The number one problem for converting danger, the Washington, D.C. into a dangerous city that has to be commandeered now by the President of the United States by executive order to call in the National Guard to rule and reign over the streets of our capital and to link the police department of Washington, D.C. with that National Guard under federal control. That's where we are today on Viewpoint. And we're going to take a look. We're going to analyze this. I have gone through many sources in order to glean the information necessary to communicate to you where the problem lies. First, I want to go to our Father Facts fact sheet there on our website, saveus.org. It's the 2023 edition. It's basically up to date. It's the most up to date information that you can find concerning the matter of fatherhood. So we call it Father Facts, Fatherhood in Crisis, the 2023 edition. Since 1986, the United States is the world's leader in fatherless families. The world's leader in fatherless families by far. According to the National Center for Fathering, 72% of U.S. population per the Fathering in America poll say that fatherlessness is the most significant family or social problem facing America. That poll was in 1999, and the continuing blatant demeaning of fatherhood since that time now endangers the entire nation, and it's a debaucherous model that's being transmitted worldwide. Interestingly, the year 1994 was declared the year of the father. That was 1 year after we formed Save America Ministries as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation in America's greatest crisis hour. The fact that 1994 was declared the year of the father by Congress was a reflection, in my estimation, that while attempting to bring back the focus to fatherhood, it actually was more like a postmortem for her followers following devastating cultural indicators. We did the same thing with the Bible. The Bible was losing its import in the country dramatically, and so somewhere around the mid-1980s, the Congress declared the year of the Bible. It seems that we're always behind the times. Nearly 20 million children live without a father in the United States of America. The U.S. stands over three times the world average of 7% of children raised by one parent. Of all U.S. births, 41% are born out of wedlock. For women under 30, out-of-wedlock births increased to 53%. Over 90% of all fatherless children are the product of divorce. Now, with those basic facts to begin with, we launch into the deep here on Viewpoint, and we have to understand, no question about it, that Viewpoint does determine destiny. Our viewpoint concerning the matter of fathers, our viewpoint concerning the matter of the social issues of the day that are producing fatherlessness in the home are actually being seen in the streets of our nation's capital. We're going to take a look today at fatherlessness. We're going to take about a look at the homes in which are inhabited primarily children where they're primarily governed by a mother in the home or a woman in the home. We're going to take a look at births to unmarried women in the District of Columbia. We're going to take a look at the percentage of divorce in the District of Columbia. We're going to take a look at the consequences of fathers not being in the home in the District of Columbia and in the nation as a whole. We're going to take a look at actually the birth rates in the District of Columbia. And all of these things, and also the abortion rate. We're going to take a look at all of these things as they relate to our nation's capital as, shall we say, the symbol for all America. Indeed, the symbol for all America. Births to unmarried women by race in the District of Columbia. Here they are. White women, 7%. We're talking about births to unmarried women. Hispanic, 55%. Black, 77%. 77% of all children born to a black woman are born out of wedlock in our nation's capital. That statistic alone should be sufficient to tell us where our problem lies, but we're not finished there. I hope you'll stay tuned, friends. I have across the broadcast desk all of the facts, the statistics that tell us the truth about why our nation's capital streets are dangerous and must be controlled.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Why are our nation's streets, and especially the streets of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., called the District of Columbia, so dangerous? So dangerous that for the first time they had to be pointed out by a president of the United States to call in the National Guard to try to restore order in our nation's capital, not because of assaults from the outside, other countries and enemies from the outside, but because of assaults from the inside. This is an inside job, friends, an inside job for which there is remedy other than the National Guard. But America and the American people are not prepared to solve the problem. In fact, not prepared to even recognize the problem. And so the fact that we're doing this here today with such clarity puts a bullseye on my back. It just puts a bullseye on my back because neither politicians nor pastors nor others are willing to point out the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is very, very simple. But if you're not willing to admit the truth, you can't be healed. If you're not willing to admit you have cancer in your body, you're not going to go to the doctor. If you're not willing to admit that you have a certain problem, whatever it might be, you're not willing to seek help. Because you've decided you prefer to go on business as usual than to bring the necessary change that will bring change you can really believe in. Now, that's the unfortunate truth that hovers over our conversation for the balance of the program. The U.S. Census provides population counts by race and ethnicity. The number of adults living in Washington, D.C. who are black or African American is approximately 250,000, 225,000 plus or minus. Now estimated to be roughly the same number of white adults, approximately 250,000. And there were an estimated 59,000 Hispanic Latino adults in our nation's capital. So overall, you're looking at probably close to 600,000 a population. Now, within that, the greatest number of children in Washington, D.C. are black, approximately 64,400. 64,400. So if the largest number of children in Washington, D.C. are black, and the African-American or black community comprises close to 45% of the population of Washington, D.C., it would appear that the children of black families or black America are the heartthrob of what's happening in the streets of Washington, D.C. And when you look at those who are causing the problems, whether it be carjackings or other forms of crime, almost invariably they are coming from, unfortunately, the black community. We're going to see why that is. It's not a mystery. It's a statistical fact, and the statistics tell us the story of how we can correct the problem or continue to live with it. The problem is we can't live with it, and that's why the President of the United States has called the National Guard to come in to try to bring order to chaos. Order to chaos. Now, we're going to take a look at the divorce rates. We're going to take a look at the abortion rates and see how they play in this bigger picture. First, we'll take a look at the nation as a whole. In 2023, one in four children in America aged 0 to 17, totaling about 19 million, were living in a household without their biological step or adoptive father, mostly with their mother in 85% of the cases. In other words, we become a matriarchal society in many respects. 85% of the 19 million children not living with their fathers were living with their mothers. 85% of the 19 million. So it's the second most common U.S. living arrangement, says this article, and the proportion of those households has doubled since 1970. So the problem was apparent before 1970. How apparent was this problem? Well, a Democrat senator by the name of Patrick Moynihan, wrote a piece that caught America by surprise. He admitted that unless the black community could get a hold of their problems internally, we were going to have a severe, severe problem in our country. That was back, I believe, in 1968. We didn't heed. We didn't hear. And we didn't respond. According to a global survey of 130 countries, the United States has the highest rate of children living in a single-parent household of any nation in the world. That's about 23%, more than three times the worldwide level. The percentage of U.S. children living in single-parent households nearly tripled between 1960 and 2023, increasing from 9 to 25%. In the same period, the share of households with fathers missing more than doubled, increasing from 11% to 25%. So the proportion of children living in a father-absent household varies considerably, though, among America's three major social groups. And I'm reading this from articles that have no bone to, they have no axe to grind, no bone to take with anybody. They're just looking at troubling situations in our country. The rise in births to unmarried mothers in America has contributed strongly to the increase in households with missing fathers. So what does that look like? Well, let's look at the percent of U.S. children in father-missing households for major social groups. Among whites, 20% of the children are not living in a home with their father. Among Hispanics, 29% are not living in a home with their father. Among blacks, 50% are not living in a home with their father. So if there are 64,000 children, black children, in Washington, D.C., and at least 50% of them are not living in the home with their father, what does that tell you about 32,000 of them and what they're about and what they're doing? They have no control. They have no direction. They have no order, no male authority. So what would be your normal conclusion? 40% of all births in the U.S. were to unmarried women, a fourfold increase since 1970. Among Asians, it was a 16% increase. Among whites, it was a 22% increase. Among Hispanics, it was a 42% increase. But among blacks, it was a 69% increase. All births in the U.S. to unmarried women. Are we beginning to get the picture? It isn't a mystery. It just isn't a mystery at all. The percentage and number of children living with two parents has dropped since 1968 in America. 85% of children under 18 live with two parents in 1968. Nowhere near today. Living with two married parents was the most common living arrangement for children of all races other than black children. Fewer than two-fifths of black children were living with two married parents in 2020. Less than half. Living with no parent was most common for black children. 8%. Living with no parent at all, probably a grandparent or an aunt, followed by 4% of Hispanics and 3% of whites and 1% of Asian children. So when you add those living with a mother only to those living with no one that's a parent, you have a situation where close to 60%, maybe even closer to 80% of black children are not living in a home with their father. Now, that being the case, what is this business with fathers? What should we know about fathers? Well, let me give you a hint. In the book of Malachi, God gave the next to last message that he gives to the world through Malachi concerning a message that he was going to deliver just before the coming of the Lord. Malachi said that before the great and terrible day of the Lord, I will send forth Elijah the prophet, or the spirit of Elijah the prophet, to call the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I strike the earth with a curse. Friends, we have already been stricken with the curse. In what ways is fatherlessness a curse? It's a curse in every way. It's a curse in every way because God despises fatherlessness. And the United States is the world's leader in fatherless families. Fatherlessness, it has now been said by both Christian and secular observers, fatherlessness is the most significant family or social problem facing America today and facing our national capital. If it were classified as a disease, fatherlessness would be an epidemic worthy of attention as a national emergency, declared the National Center for Fathering. According to their Fathering in America poll, 72% of the U.S. population say fatherlessness is the most significant family or social problem facing America. Actually, that poll came out in 1999. So consider what it would be today. Divorce is the leading driver of fatherlessness. Unwed childbirth is another leading force of fatherlessness. Between the two of them, they are the preeminent forces of fatherlessness. So if that were true, even close to true, then we know that there are answers that we can do something about. We can do something about our marriages, and we can do something about what God says concerning the relationship with men and women, that fornication will consign you to eternal damnation unless you repent. That adultery will consign you to eternal damnation unless you repent. You say, what? Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. We like to go to the Apostle Paul to find out what he has to say about church doctrine, don't we? Well, here's what he has to say about that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, look, don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, that is those having sex out of marriage, or adulterers, or practicing homosexuals and so on, are going to inherit the kingdom of God. None of them are going to inherit the kingdom of God, he said. That's unless they repent. So repentance is the answer to this problem. For those particularly who have gotten into these situations and desired to do exactly contrary to what God says in his word, if indeed he is God, but if there's no fear of the Lord in the land and no fear of the Lord in those who are tending our churches, then why would we obey what God has to say? So restoring the fear of the Lord in our families is the number one issue before we ever could restore the Father. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries
on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Today we ask the question, why is D.C. so dangerous? The District of Columbia, why is it so dangerous? Why is it necessary for the President of the United States for the first time to call out the National Guard to bring order and a measure of safety to the population in our nation's capital? Do you have any idea, friends, what a testimony this is to the world and the nations? While we have historically claimed to be a Christian nation, this is an abomination. It's an abomination to God. It's an abomination to our supposed testimony to the world as to the God we claim to trust in. It's unreal. It's beyond the pale. And what is so interesting is that George Gallup, a number of years ago, said that the black community is the most Christian or the most church-going in the country. And if that be true, and the black community exceeds all other people groups in fatherlessness dramatically, in unwed pregnancy, unwed childbirth, in abortion, and in divorce, all of them. We're going to get into all of them. How then can they be seen to be the most Christian people? Something is radically wrong with this picture, which means that somewhere in the pulpits of black America, or in all America, there is a failure to properly preach and teach the word of God, the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of all wisdom. Without the fear of the Lord, you're not going to obey him. You're going to do what you want, no matter how many days you spend in church. No matter how many Bibles you claim to own, no matter how many times you claim to pray each day. We have a problem. We have abandoned the fear of the Lord in America. From the church house to the schoolhouse and the courthouse, maybe even the White House, we've abandoned the fear of the Lord in America. And that's the beginning of our problem. Because of that, we now have a massive fatherless problem. That's a result of a problem of massive and persistent sexual promiscuity. Sexual promiscuity is a problem that we can control one by one. Divorce is a problem we can control marriage by marriage. So you see, these are not so complex problems. These problems are not nearly as complex as our media try to tell us, or as even many of our pastors and so on try to tell us, well, don't you know about this problem? Don't you know about that? No, we're trying to make it complex because we don't want to deal with the problem. And we're going to hear from a 22-year-old young man shortly that's going to pierce through all of it to tell us the truth. A fellow by the name of Jack Brewer, writing on behalf of the American First Policy, said fatherhood is foundational to strong families, and strong families are essential to a strong nation. An absent father affects all aspects of a child's life, including socio-cognitive development, emotional development, academic performance, and criminality. Unfortunately, the effects of fatherlessness are too visible throughout America, including, he says, in the District of Columbia, our nation's capital. Fatherlessness is all too common in the District of Columbia. 49% of children in D.C. are living in single-parent homes. In other words, an eighth of a million, about 110,000, 112,000. Four children in the District of Columbia reside in foster care. And how many of those that are roaming the streets are not in foster care or in a home governed by mom or dad? 46,000 children in District of Columbia are receiving public assistance on welfare. Let's take a look at what God has to say about this matter of fathering, just briefly. Several years ago, as I was reading through the book of Malachi, the Lord shone a laser beam again on that passage where God says that before the great and terrible day of the Lord, when he pours out his wrath on the children of disobedience, he will send forth the spirit of Elijah the prophet to call the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Do you know that that's what we're doing this very day? And that's what we were doing when I wrote the book Hearts of the Fathers, Leaving a Legacy That Lasts. How to leave a legacy that lasts. It's one of the only two hardbound books that I have penned over the years, because it is so critical. This is the next to last message that God gives to the planet before the second coming of Jesus Christ. The last message is in Revelation chapter 14, but this is the next to last message, that before the great and terrible day of the Lord, he will call forth the spirit of Elijah to call the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of children to the fathers. Why is that? Because God hates fatherlessness. He considers it a curse upon his creation. So it's a curse upon our nation, and it's a curse upon our capital, and we are in deep, deep trouble in the face of the God we claim to serve. Remember the motto, in God we trust? Not so much anymore. I want to urge you to get a copy of the book Hearts of the Fathers, because it was written specifically to help us overcome this problem. It's not a book of, carrying on a diatribe against this, that, or the other. Yes, we quote the statistics and so on, but that's not what the book is about. The book is about how to get the minds and hearts of men to see the need to be godly fathers. What it really means to be a father from God's viewpoint. It's a very encouraging book. It's an exhorting book. It's like a book that a coach would write to fathers. And that's how it's written. There's a reason why 2/3 of all of these books have been purchased by women. Because they see the drastic need for the men in their households, yes, professing Christian men, to truly become godly fathers. I hope you'll get a copy of the book. It's a $23 book, hardbound book, and it's yours for $20 on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. It will change your life. It will change your family. It'll change congregations where pastors grab a hold of this book what a message they have right here in their hands to deliver to the men in their congregation. It will change everything. It will change marriages. It will change children. It will change your congregation. It will change our willingness to look at God as a father again, a true father, not just a jolly old Santa Claus. $20 will put the book in your hands, $23 hardbound book, Hearts of the Fathers. Go to the website, saveus.org, that's saveus.org. Give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check, add $6 for postage and handling. All right. Let's say that you write, you request of the famous gospel source, Google, and you ask what the divorce rates are in America, and significantly by race and ethnicity. What will you find? Well, here's what you'll find. Black adults have the highest divorce rates, around 31%. Black women have the highest rates of marital divorce, with divorce rates consistently higher than marriage rates. So, in other words, it's not just unwed pregnancy or unwed childbirth. It's divorce. Divorce among Black America is the highest of all people groups. God says he hates divorce. Why would you think that would be? Well, just look at the streets of our capital, and you'll see why. How about abortion? In 2021, Washington, D.C. had a high abortion rate compared to other areas in the U.S. The abortion rate was 22 abortions per 1,000 women. 55% were performed on Black women. Now, the abortion rate was high in the city as a whole, but when 250,000 of them were Black or African American, whatever term you want to use, and 55% of all the abortions were done in that group of people, you know that the abortions were much, much higher for Black women. In fact, here's what they are. 55% on Black women, 14% on white women. D.C. has become a significant destination for abortions after the Dobbs decision. It is a place where people are flooding to do abortions in our nation's capital, friends. That's what we're facilitating in America. We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Today we're dealing with the subject of why our nation's capital is dangerous. Why the President of the United States found it necessary to call out thousands of National Guardsmen to patrol the streets of our nation's capital to try to restore some sense of order among the chaos carrying out by the youth in our nation's capital. I'm looking right now at the handsome picture of a 22-year-old young man. His name is C.J. Pearson. C.J. Pearson. He happens to be black. He is the national co-chair of a youth advisory council. And I want to share with you what he has written concerning this subject. Anchor your seatbelt, my friend. The title is Black Fatherlessness is Turning D.C. into a War Zone. Remember, this young man, 22 years of age, is black. He says, as a D.C. resident and a young black man living in America, I'm not here to play nice. The time for that has long passed. Washington, D.C. is spiraling out of control, and it's not just because of bad mayors, weak prosecutors, or woke policies. It's because too many fathers in the black community have walked away from their responsibilities, and too many people in power are too cowardly to say it out loud. By the way, 69% of all divorces are begun by women now. 69%. What does that say about fathers? Mr. Pearson, this 22-year-old young black man, says, if you want to know why our nation's capital has become one of the most dangerous cities in America, start in the home. The reality is simple. When boys grow up without fathers, the streets raise them, and the streets are predictably doing a terrible job. This isn't conjecture, he says. It's fact. A child without a father is 5 times more likely to commit crime and be poor, 9 times more likely to drop out of school, and 20 times more likely to end up in jail. In neighborhoods across D.C., gangs have replaced families. Drug dealers have replaced fathers. Violence has replaced manhood. And yet we act surprised when carjacking, shootings, and murders spiral out of control. Spare me, he says. This didn't happen by accident. It's the predictable outcome of a culture that stopped valuing family and started accusing failure. And I'm going to add to that, stopped fearing God and obeying him. He said, I've seen the cost of fatherlessness up close. Young men my age that I grew up with who've never been taught how to be men, making choices that lead them to a prison cell or an early grave. Decades of liberal policy have made it worse. Welfare systems that punish marriage, schools that ignore discipline, politicians who glorify victimhood over responsibility. And every time someone tries to call it out, the left screams racism to shut down the conversation. But the truth doesn't need their permission to be spoken. Again, we're talking, this is the voice of a 22-year-old black young man who's writing this. President Donald Trump's decision to make D.C. safe again is the first real act of leadership this city has seen in years. It's not just about putting more cops on the street. It's about sending a message that chaos has consequences. The days of letting criminals rule the capital of the free world are over. But here's the tough truth. If we want safer streets, we need stronger families. If you're a man who made a child, be a father to that child. If you're not willing to do that, then don't cry foul when your son ends up in handcuffs or worse. Trump is giving D.C. a fighting chance by taking back the streets. But if we don't fix the culture that produces these criminals, we'll be right back here in 10 years with another wave of fatherless boys and another pile of bodies. You want D.C. to change? We may need to start in the living room. What a voice. 22 years old, a black young man telling the truth to the country, to his own people, and to all of us. This is a message for America, because our nation's capital is but a metaphor for the country. The country is in deep trouble. Cohabitation, which is fornication under another name, has become the most prominent so-called family style in America today. Not families, not mothers and fathers married, but cohabitation. In other words, we have actually agreed as a country that two living together without marriage, without the commitment of marriage, is just as good or better than marriage, which God ordained as the second creation ordinance in Genesis chapter 2. Which leads us to disobey God with regard to the matter of fornication, which is sex outside of marriage. The Apostle Paul speaks very pointedly about it to the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, "Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor practicing homosexuals, and so on, are going to inherit the kingdom of God." They're just not going to inherit the kingdom of God unless they repent. In other words, confess their sin and cease from it. That's our hope. Our hope is to be restore the fear of the Lord in our hearts and in our homes. And it's got to start in God's house. That's where judgment's going to start. It's going to start at the house of God. That's what the Bible says. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 was dealing with this situation before he made that declaration in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He found that in the Corinthian church that thought they were such a spiritually minded church, you know, all the wonderful things that he talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. Yeah. But he found fornication going on in God's own house. He said, the likes of which you can't even find among the pagans. He said, you cannot allow this to continue in your church. Because a little little leaven leavens the whole lump. You can't do it. You have to remove that person from your church. Pastors, are you listening? Just because you want to build a bigger congregation doesn't mean you authenticate cohabitation in your congregation. Real love will cause you to identify and talk with such people, fornicators, and tell them that this is not acceptable to God and therefore is not acceptable in your congregation. If they ask you to marry them, you must ask them, in fact, tell them, you cannot do that unless and until they cease and desist from cohabitation and repent of it. We have to get serious about what God has said. He's either God or he is not. He's either our Heavenly Father or he's not. And doesn't he know best? If he's really a father, then Father knows best, and Father's law is in the house. Father's word is law in the household of faith, right? So these things are not difficult. It's actually very simple. Now, we know that Rome wasn't built in a day. It wasn't destroyed in a day. It wouldn't be rebuilt in a day. And these problems cannot be corrected in a day or a fortnight or whatever. They can't be corrected that quickly. But you have to start somewhere. And you start one person, one family at a time. If you're listening to this program and you have this problem in your family, then you start there. And the interesting thing is that in this day and age, we all have situations in extended families that look somewhat like these statistics. It's very painful. And it's a slap in the face of God who made and preserved us a nation. How can we expect God's blessing upon such a people as this? We can't. We're living in a fool's paradise if we can expect God's blessing on such a people as this. On our website is a fact sheet called Father Facts, Fatherhood in Crisis. And it's up to date. And I urge you to get a copy of it. I think it would be helpful. It distills an awful lot of facts and what we have to do, bring an end to the curse. And I urge you to get a copy of it right there on the website, saveus.org. You can print it out, hand it out to your Sunday school class, your small group, whatever. Use it as a basis for conversation, discussion. What's happening in our nation's capital what the president has done now should grab the attention of every Christian pastor, every father. This is an opportunity, friends. Seize the moment. Carpe diem, seize the day. This is our moment of truth. Yeah. Spiritual State of the Union. And again, I urge you to get a copy of the book, Hearts of the Fathers. It's a transformative book. It's a book to help undergird every man who is a father or a father-to-be to cast a vision for what it means to truly be a godly father. Men say, I don't know what to do. My wife is the spiritual one in our family. That's what most men are saying. And so they shove the responsibility on mom. That's not right. God expects men to take the spiritual leadership. He expects men to be the example. And the failure to do that is what is resulting in the statistics that pain our country, that pain our national capital, and that are making us a mockery in the world. And incidentally, by making us a mockery in the world, making the God we claim to serve a mockery in the world. We're defaming the name of Christ in the world. With by far the highest rate of fatherlessness among 130 countries? Friends, this ought not so to be. And we can do something about it. One family, one home, one father, one mother at a time. Hearts of the Fathers, a hardbound book, $23 book, yours for $20 on our website. We'll change your life. We'll change your family. We'll give hope to our country and hope to your congregation, Pastor. It's on our website, saveus.org. Hearts of the Fathers, leaving a legacy that lasts. On the website, saveus.org, call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. Please undergird this ministry as we dare to tell the truth, even if it puts a bullseye on our back. It's time to tell the truth. That's our only hope. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.